Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Lately, I've been thinking about that emotional and ethical minefield known as dog renting. While yet uncommon in my rural area, Uber has made an appearance. Can Whole Foods, IKEA, and dog rental be far behind? Just to clarify, I'm talking about dog rental. Puppy rental is a non-starter for me for multiple behavioral and bond reasons. No matter how many people want to trade cash for a puppy fix, and no matter how noble the cause, the cash goes to support. But what about stable, well-behaved, and well-trained adult dogs who love doing this work? As always, there are benefits and costs related to this. On the benefit side, U.S. population demographics reveal an aging population, as well as a younger one with limits that may make owning a dog difficult. These fall into four categories, and, relative to dog ownership, may create more problems for those who live alone. Time limits. It takes time to properly care for a dog. In addition to daily feeding and exercise routine, it takes time to groom a dog properly or have a dog groomed, and to take the dog to the vets. It takes even more time to address any behavioral or medical problems the dog may develop. Compare this to renting a healthy, well-behaved dog only when you know you'll have the time to enjoy each other's company. Financial limits. There's no such thing as a free dog. In addition to one-time costs such as breeder or shelter rescue, spay or neuter, and training fees, there are ongoing ones. Food, routine medical care, such as necessary or legally mandated vaccines, testing for heartworm or tick-borne diseases, the cost of flea and tick control, license fees, pet deposits in rental housing or breed-related surcharges in homeowners insurance, the cost of kenneling, daycare, dog walkers or sitters, one-time or periodic costs that may become ongoing, may include those related to serious or chronic medical or behavioral problems, including the cost of any medications, special diets, or other aids to help the dog. While dog renting doesn't come cheap, it does enable those who can afford it to periodically enjoy a quality experience with a dog that otherwise wouldn't be possible. Physical limits. For as much comfort as dogs may bring to people with physical limitations, those same limitations may decrease those folks' ability to meet a full-time dog's needs. In these situations, both the dog and the owner may suffer. A well-behaved and exercised rental dog, content to amble slowly around the yard or lie at someone's feet and hang on their every word for a few hours, would provide a more positive human-canine interaction. Mental and emotional limits. Unlike the previous limits, mental and emotional limits may vary greatly from person to person. Additionally, the limits of an individual may vary greatly from day to day and even hour to hour. But dog owners are legally and morally responsible for their dog's health and behavior day in and day out. For those with certain mental or emotional limits, fulfilling these obligations may overwhelm them. In these situations, periodic interactions with well-behaved, well-trained canine rentals who enjoy their work could be very rewarding. In addition to these potential benefits of dog rentals for the renter, anti-canine landlords may be more accepting of rental dogs compared to owned animals whose behavior might be unpredictable at best. Quality rental dogs also could become accepted exceptions in assisted living and nursing facilities and subsidized housing where no animals allowed policies normally apply. So far, this sounds like a match made in heaven and a guaranteed income for life for dog renting entrepreneurs. But the dog rental concept isn't without its cost. Ensuring the quality of the dogs requires a rigorous selection, training, and placement process. Ensuring the willingness and ability of the renters to keep the dogs safe and meet the dogs' needs while in their care requires careful oversight. These dogs can't be expected to serve as de facto service dogs. These dogs also need a stable home base with people with whom the dog shares a mutually strong bond. It goes without saying that these animals should not be kept in cages when they're not working. Providing for all this takes time, commitment, money, and hard work on the provider's part, and the temptation to cut corners and costs may exist. Consequently, caveat emptor, let the dog renter beware. But the biggest cost of the dog renting concept takes me back to something supposedly said by Sigmund Freud, but never proven. A therapist is a paid friend for the friendless. What do dog rentals say about changes in our society? Flashback with me to my childhood in the Cold War era when I got my first dog, Troubles, when I was about 9 or 10. Because a dog was a luxury item not within the family budget, I had to earn the money to pay for her and her upkeep. To do this, I did chores for neighbors and friends, house cleaning, weeding, whatever I could to get and keep that dog. Once I got Trub, a beagle mix, part of my daily routine included walks with her to the reservoir with its open space at the end of our street. Soon everyone between our house and the reservoir knew her. She became a particular favorite of Mrs. K, a petless widow and one of my most supportive customers. Mrs. K worked full-time, and when she walked by our house on her way home from the bus stop after work, she'd greet anyone who was on the porch or in the front yard, including the dog. Sometimes we'd go visit her, and Troubles would come along. Soon Trub knew when Mrs. K was due home and would greet her with happy barks and a wagging tail. Not long after that, she began going home with Mrs. K for a while. Between Mrs. K's house and ours lived Mr. Hill, a retired widower who had lost a leg in a hunting accident. According to him, someone thought he was a deer and shot him. Mr. Hill also had somewhat of a drinking problem. But tipsy or sober, he really loved dogs. Periodically, Mr. Hill would join Mrs. K for dinner at her house. Perhaps I imagined this, but it seemed that this was more likely to happen on those days when he knew Troubles was there. Before my bedtime, I or my mom would walk up to Mrs. K's for a visit and pick up the dog. Sometimes, though, Mrs. K would call to tell us she was sending Troubles home because her arthritis was acting up. Then she'd open the door and tell the dog to go home, where I or another family member would be out on the front walk to greet her. And to be sure, she didn't dawdle too long, greeting other people and dogs along the way. At the time, I thought my dog was pretty special, but in retrospect, she wasn't. Lots of people did and still do share their dogs with others on a short or long-term basis. Sometimes friends and neighbors step in to supplement or provide full care for any animals belonging to those who become unable to do this themselves. All these people share different but solid bonds with these animals. It's a win-win for everyone, including the dogs. Given this reference, it's no surprise that costs I see associated with dog rental are societal ones. The need to pay strangers for a service that dog owners and their family, friends, and neighbors traditionally perform for free. The numbers of people with numerous electronic or work friends, but none close enough to share a dog with. The generalized lack of trust that makes people reluctant to offer their dogs and others reluctant to accept them, even on a short-term basis. Then there is that fundamental flaw in our thinking regarding the human-animal bond that enables us to self-righteously deny any animal companionship to those who may need it the most: the sick, the poor, the mentally and emotionally fragile. Because of this, I don't know if rental dogs are an answer to, or a symbol of, these problems in our society.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.